Hello, welcome everyone to the Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on JTS Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world with transformational businesses, thoughts, ideas, and actions that encourage and inspire. My name is Taylor Tagg. I am a forgiveness educator and coach, certified by the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training, and a certified Napoleon Hill Foundation leadership instructor. Find out more about my work and learn how to let go of resentment, pain, and suffering in a few easy steps. Please visit me at The Evolving Heart. Inquire about our free forgiveness coaching session. Now to today's success story. My guest today is a very special guest. Her name is Dawana Sykes. Dawana is a life coach and a CPA, and she utilizes her fight and victory over breast cancer to draw attention to the other cancers of life. Her life has proven that cancer can affect everyone. It just manifests itself in different ways. And emotional and psychological cancers are running rampant, yet they are often ignored. So we're going to answer the question today of cancer, do you have it? I'm going to talk to Dawana about that and talk to her about her book, Cancer Us. So we want to welcome Dawana to Journey to Success Radio. Today she's going to tell us about her book and how to live more of a fulfilling, authentic life. So, Dawana, welcome to Journey to Success Radio. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. And let me just say thank you so much, Taylor, for having me on this Journey to Success.
Well, great. We're glad to have you on the program. You've written a book recently that's been very popular and been very successful. It talks about cancer. But tell us a little bit about your journey through that process of overcoming breast cancer and how that has transformed into helping people in the world today.
Taylor, you know, it truly has been an interesting journey. I tell you, you know, it may sound kind of strange, but I don't think it's one that I would trade for anything in the world. You know, initially when I was first asked, you know, to share my experience with breast cancer, the first thing I thought, because you and I know statistics show that there's so many people that, you know, have had to fight this battle. So I really wanted to kind of know, you know, what was my purpose in this? You know, what purpose could I find through this process? And, you know, I went back to the definition of cancer, and I really grew up thinking that it was a poison that kind of entered your system through maybe some something in the atmosphere, something in your workplace. And when I got clear that it was really your own cells that began to rapidly divide without control and destroy other tissues of your body, I had such a revelation about every aspect of our lives and how that same type of behavior pattern can exist. So what you get in this work that truly is divinely inspired, you get a good walk through my breast cancer journey. You know, everything from the diagnosis to the treatment, the side effects that I experienced. But at the same time, in a very personal way, you get to look at your own life. As you mentioned, the emotional and spiritual other aspects of your life, workplaces, and different areas that we all, you know, have incorporated into our lives, and really evaluate, you know, do I have cancerous conditions, you know, in my life? So that's the high level. We can get into definitely more detail, but that's the high level gist of this work.
Well, and that's wonderful, and I know that you know, for our listeners out there. You know, you and I have a personal relationship. We were coworkers at FedEx for a number of years, and I know about Dawana's journey and her perseverance through cancer. But that physical journey through overcoming cancer has opened a new world to you in understanding, you know, how we suffer in other ways besides the physical. Tell the listeners kind of, you know, again, what has that done for you as far as opening your mind and your heart to other ways to look at our life, which may be cancerous?
Well, you know, when I got that revelation that I mentioned about really that process and realizing that I'd kind of grown up with a misunderstanding of what cancer was and how the physical cancer operated in your body, one of the things that came real clear to me right away was that in a much broader sense, I'd had cancer before. And I began to really think about, you know, a couple of areas in my life that I had really allowed cancerous type conditions to exist for a decent amount. And one of those was relationships, and the other was kind of just bitterness in the workplace. And I realized I'd really let some things, choices I'd made and different things like that really cause, unhealthy patterns and unhealthy responses even to conditions to just kind of destroy some of the core essence of my existence even. And so I would venture to say that I probably had more feedback from non-cancer patients. I mean, I have both, but people that really are starting to take a look at their lives, their emotions and their choices, family situations, people that really desire, you know, to heal, carrying, you know, unresolved issues from childhood and just different things of that nature, and realize the detrimental impact. And it's just like a physical cancer. If it doesn't get treated, there's different spans of time, but that typical result is death. And it's the same with, you know, marriages. If there's something, you know, cancerous that kind of gets in and the two parties, you know, don't come together and are willing to really assess the condition, determine what the right treatment plan is, and you know, go through that process, no matter how painful it is. Talk to a physical cancer patient, and they'll tell you how grueling chemotherapy is. And I went through it, so I know it firsthand. So that is to say that even in these other areas, it may take some painful choices. It may take some cutting away, much like a lumpectomy or a mastectomy, to really get cured. But it's so necessary and so worth it. And I'm really on a mission to help people really become self-aware of what areas may be plaguing them.
Absolutely. I know there are people listening to this program right now, and maybe they're just realizing for the first time that cancer is something that happens within us. It's not necessarily a product of the environment or something that we breathe in or comes out of the air. And I'm sure that there's a realization and a understanding of, oh my goodness, cancer could be from something that I've done or thought about or not treated someone else right, or a product of something else other than the physical. So if I'm a person listening to this for the first time and I'm thinking, wow, cancer is something different than what I thought it was, where do they start? How do they begin the journey to evaluate themselves and understand it from a different perspective?
So much like the physical cancer, the journey begins with really assessing your condition. You know, one of the things, you know, while I highlight the two areas that I previously mentioned, you know, that I had, one of the things that I'm clear on in the book is that maybe you've never dealt with my issues per se. But, again, understanding that pattern that, you know, cancer is your own cells that divide without control and destroy the tissues of your body. Well, I challenge people to look at every area of their life. Look at, family structure and siblings, and kind of, you know, ask yourself, do I find myself, even workplace, do I find myself, you know, fighting against the grain? You know, am I the one, for whatever reason, maybe I'm unhappy because I, you know, haven't gotten promoted, or I feel looked over, maybe I feel unappreciated. You know, maybe I have some valid feelings, but, you know, the question becomes, am I, in response to those, am I divisive? Am I, you know, kind of destructive? I mean, you know, in groups, in settings where, you know, maybe you're just a member of a civic organization, and you may have some personality conflict with, you know, others. And the goal, because I think that's the key, when you think about sales and you think about organized groups, whether it's a church group or, like I said, a work group, a civic group, the group has been created for some, I would venture to say, positive cause to accomplish some, you know, positive goals. But when these dynamics, these kindred conditions come to play, you know, all of a sudden you've got, it's like, you know, the physical. It's so just alike that it's really mind-blowing to me. But it just behooves us to really look at every area of our life that we operate in a group and just make the assessment. Much like a, you know, typically the way a person with physical cancer gets diagnosed, there's some abnormality. All of a sudden, maybe there's a pain or there's a, you know, a lump or there's something, maybe just through testing. So, you know, it's determined that there's an abnormality that exists. So at a minimum, and like you said, at the initial point, the action that must be taken is just an assessment, you know, of every group that I'm attached to, family, you know, work, like, and I, you know, I could go on, and making that assessment, you know, am I, and I like to look at it like that, am I cancerous to the groups that I'm a part of, to the cells that I'm a part of, cell groups.
That's wonderful. I know you've done a lot of research in this arena, and you've seen a lot of clients and work with a lot of people. Tell us some of the other cancers or cancer labels that you see with the people that you work with, other than the physical cancer they might be dealing with. What are some of the other cancers that you're seeing in the people that you work with?
One of the big ones is in families, and one of the situations that just continues to come up is that of sibling rivalry. And what I have found most in working with clients is that, and I mean I've worked with people, you know, in their 50s and 60s, and sometimes, and I mean I'm only bringing that up to say the longevity of how long we've allowed these things to exist in our lives. And I've worked with siblings who are harboring issues from childhood. And it may be that one sibling just feels that another was favored as a child. So here we are, you know, 30, 40 years later, and every family function is met with tension, walking on eggshells, because we have not really dealt with the root cause of the tension. You know, I was in Atlanta doing some training, and I just happened to be small talking with a lady sitting beside me. We're both waiting to be seated. And one of the things that she said that was just kind of, you know, mind-boggling to me, she says, I don't go to family functions anymore. It's just too stressful. And, you know, that's not really solving the issue, that there's a cancer there. I'm really, you know, concerned about the family. I think the family structure is just such a core, and to even have one, you know, I think just recently in the news, a young girl, 7 years old, I think, was like the only one left in a plane accident. I mean, it is a gift to have family, to be able to have family time. And I just think that the last thing that we need are toxicities and cancers that remain, that keep us from, you know, spending that valuable time. And you see regrets, you know, afterwards, things I didn't say, or, you know, I could have done this differently. And so it's a matter of really assessing. That's one of the big ones. Maybe, you know, in my case, you know, there's this myth that, you know, without a father in the home, those are the only people that may be promiscuous or whatever the issue was. And so, you know, I'm pretty candid in my book about some of the things that I experienced in relationships, you know. And, again, I talk about not trading cancer for cancer, not getting bitter. I've seen that kind of situation where maybe the father wasn't there. So maybe the father shows up later, and you're harboring, you know, unforgiveness, or bitterness instead of, you know, looking at the situation. You know, I think it's fair to talk and discuss how you feel, but I think it's cancerous to have an opportunity to make amends and not do it. Workplace is a huge one, you know, and I'll be honest, I talk about it in my book, you know, I experienced it. The workplace truly, and it doesn't take everybody, I mean, it really can just be one person where there's the intent is for teamwork and team building and working together, and it really only takes one person who's just kind of not in sync. You know, again, it could be something unrelated to the job that they bring to the job. Maybe there's issues at home, or it could be something that they feel is, you know, happening at work that's not in their favor. But again, it's that response, if you know, of going against the grain of not being a team player, of just not helping, not supporting. Maybe it's just an attitude that makes other people uncomfortable in the work environment, and that's a huge thing because we spend a lot of hours in a day with our work team, and so really seeing how that can be, you know, cancerous and toxic to a group that's trying to function together to achieve goals. I've seen it a decent amount in communities where you've got, you know, organizations that have been brought together to try to establish policy and procedure for the betterment of government. And, you know, kind of what you always see is this fighting and this bickering. And, again, the group was formed to do something positive, but as long as there's sort of a division, a dividing, it sort of leads to this death of really accomplishing anything positive, and lots of, you know, lack of trust and lack of faith in this group, you know, being able to do what the citizens need. So just, I mean, the list goes on and on of conditions that that we just need to take a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned the subject of unforgiveness. I've got an emerging one-hour workshop, Forgiveness in the Workplace. It's been well received, and people experience forgiveness, you know, in the workplace for the first time, and they see how easy it is. They want a lot more of it real quick, but it's you have to give it. You have to give it first, and it's not that hard to do. It's the perception that we need to get something back or get even, or we were just some form or some way is the reason why we don't give it. And once we give it, it's easy. It becomes easy. It really does. Yeah. So thank you for mentioning those problems and that we face every day in the workplace, in the environment, in our family relationships. I know that you've worked with a lot of people now and helping them to remove the cancer from their life. Tell me about some of the changes that you've seen in some of your clients. What has happened to those clients, and what kind of changes have they experienced when they are at first able to realize what kind of cancers are ruining their lives, and then they're able to do something about it?
Yeah. You know, and it really is an awesome experience to kind of see that transformation. And I'll tell you, a lot of it, you know, with my business, Master Your Passions, one of the things that my big slogan is renewed minds transform lives. And I think that, you know, we've just kind of created some of these unwritten rules about how things should be. The liberation that comes with recognizing that just in renewing my mind about a person or about a situation, you know, even for me, I'll just say that When I really got clear that my path was just different, it wasn't really a matter of somebody wronging me in situations, that was so liberating. I would say that the biggest gist that I've gotten breakthroughs with clients is helping them come back to this personal responsibility. A lot of times what the cancerous condition is, it continues to exist when you try to blame others. And really not take any personal accountability, and not that we aren't wrong, we're human, So as we have human interaction, you know, things happen. But at the end of the day, I think we're personally accountable for how we respond to those things. So probably, you know, in a general sense, the biggest thing is really helping people take notice, assessing where they are, and really taking personal responsibility and developing strategies for themselves to not be the cancer. You know, you can't really change someone else. I mean, in a lot of situations, you've kind of got two forces working against each other. And so recognizing that each person has sort of an individual responsibility to kind of create a better, less toxic environment. I think that's been the biggest thing, is just that taking ownership of what role you play in a cancerous condition.
Okay. I think that's a great opportunity to tell people exactly how you help them. And if somebody's listening to the program right now saying, you know what, this is me, I got some of this in my life, and they want to get in touch with you and potentially work with you or bring you in as a speaker, how do we get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest way, I guess, is to go to my website, www.masteryourpassions.com. There is a contact form there. There's a lot of information about a lot of the different, you know, already sort of prepackaged programs, but every client has a different need. So definitely, you know, we can customize it. I try to make sure that my clients know that the time is really theirs to achieve what they want, you know, to achieve. And so, but the contact form is there. They can definitely reach me via cell, even, 901-491-0133. I primarily, you know, receive information through my website, though. And there's just a lot of information there.
And again, that website is masteryourpassions.com. Check that website out and see what Duwana has. And so she's got a lot of information available to you. You can read about the book, Cancer-US, Cancer Us, meaning it's us that's potentially with the cancer. And I think that's what a great title for a book, Duwana. That's an awesome title.
Thank you. You know, I'll tell you, there's, you know, the word cancerous, you know, cancerous cells, you know, some people say we all have them, and I guess that's probably true in the physical and emotional sense. The potential is there, because it truly is just a cell that, you know, begins to later, you know, operate in an improper way. And so I initially started with that word, cancerous, and it just didn't really feel right. And then, you know, it just hit me, cancer, us. When you say it, it sounds the same. But this really, you know, puts us in that place of us, you know, cancerous. It was me. Is it you? You know, and it's just been the whole, you know, the whole revelation and inspiration and everything, you know, it really has just kind of just been divinely inspired. I really, you know, sometimes I have a hard time taking credit for it, other than, you know, it was given to me. I think the whole purpose of really going through this process and my willingness to be open about my own conditions, you know, sometimes it's hard to really encourage people and you know, if you look like you've always had it together. And so, you know, my family allowed me to be very open and personal. You know, there are issues that involve, like I said, my childhood and my family. And, you know, of course, I would dare not have written one word without, you know, their buy-in. And so the goal here truly is to just really inspire other people and to help us all get to that place of healing. And it is a choice. I emphasize that in the book, that it is a choice. When a person is diagnosed with a physical cancer, they have a choice to take treatment. There are people who choose maybe a homeopathic or natural methods of healing versus maybe the chemotherapy or the radiation. All of those are fair choices. Maybe, you know, even someone who says, I don't want to take any treatment. Whatever their convictions are, whatever. But the reality is that we all have a choice to make in healing, and it is a process. And in my mind, it's always an ongoing process because, you know, every day that we wake up, we're faced with hopefully not challenges every day, but they are a regular part of life. And again, how we respond to them, how we internalize them, how we live with, you know, the hand that we've been dealt, you know, in every area of our life, it is directly impacts how cancerous we are. And I just really hope that people will really, you know, do the self-exam. You know, we tell women, that's a big thing. You know, I do a lot, champion a lot of causes now for breast cancer awareness, and we talk about doing a self-exam at home. And that's a huge thing, you know, doing the self-exam and really just looking at every area that you operate in a group. It's kind of like you said with the forgiveness. It's an easy step. With this is not a big complicated science. I don't have this 10-step program. It's really understanding the groups that you work in. And when I say work, I mean the groups that you operate in. Family. Everyone has a family group of some sort, whether it's a, you know, adopted or extended, or you've been, you know, just brought in. You've got a work group. You've got, if you attend church or any type of organized religion, you've got that group. If you're in any type of organizations in the community, you've got those groups. You've kind of got, in the family structure, you've kind of got an up and down with parents and grandparents, and then you have this sibling thing, which can be a separate, you know, function in and of itself. But really looking at yourself and saying, you know, how do I play in any abnormalities that appear to exist? What role do I play? Am I the cancer? And it's kind of that easy. That's just the starting point.
That's a good way to start, because that was my question, is how do we begin, you know, this journey of self-examination and tips of identifying, you know, what's cancerous about me? And besides the self-examination part, what couple of things can we do right now to start where we stand?
Well, once we, like I said, you've got to start with assessment, and that's in any, you know, like I said, physical or emotional. And so then it becomes choice of treatment. Understanding, you know, and the book is sort of crafty in this, understanding that there are side effects, just like a person with chemo. Well, hair loss is a side effect, but the ultimate goal is healing. So, you know, whether your choice of treatment, if you think it's severe enough, you know, it warrants going and talking to, you know, a counselor, deciding that you and in a workplace situation, it may be a matter of just, there's lots of choices. There could be just you and a coworker sitting down to see if there's something, you know, something kind of between the two of you, or maybe there needs to be some other type of intervention. Sometimes it's as simple as recognizing what you're doing, what behaviors you exhibit that cause. It may be a matter of just stopping doing something. I mean, it doesn't always have to be real, but it can be as simple as that. It can be as severe as needing some type of intervention or some type of professional help, maybe in between the psychologist and the just stopping is, you know, life coaching. There's lots, like you said, you are specialized in forgiveness alone and bitterness. You know, I'll tell you, through my research, one of the things I've learned is that bitterness itself is a huge player in a lot of the physical ailments. So perhaps if we can get, you know, this assessment done and realize that we're harboring bitterness as perhaps a result of unforgiveness of some sort, you know, get with a life coach such as yours that's got this dynamic program. You know, we can begin to help begin the healing process. You know, our bodies have a natural tendency to heal if you think about, you know, cutting your finger or something like that. And so, you know, we we are totally in charge of this. I mean, and I think that's the one thing I really try to empower people to understand is that the choice of treatment and understanding it's painful sometimes. Sometimes it involves the cutting away. If it's an unhealthy relationship that you allow to continue to exist, it's a matter of the assessment involves like sort of like how did I get here or what is it about me, back to that personal accountability, that causes me, I guess, to continue to operate in this way. You know, what am I really missing or what did I miss? And, you know, without giving too much of the book away, because I open up specifically in this area in my own life. But again, it was not until I really was able to assess what it was that caused me to make the choices that I made that I was able to do something different.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it takes a lot of courage also to look at yourself and say, you know, what have I done here? What was my part in all of this?
Yeah.
And I think once you do step through the fear of finding out the answer, you find there are a lot of benefits. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot to be gained on the other side of that, as I'm sure.
Yes.
You find out with your clients. So.
Yes.
Last question, Dawana, and this was the Journey to Success original question. As we kind of wrap up this interview and tell a listening audience, you know, what drives you to really be successful and makes up the heart of what you do with your cancerous platform today?
What drives me is a clear picture, a clear understanding, which I will say the majority of my life I did not have, on my calling. You know, I've been told, even like you said, in corporate America, during my time in corporate America, I was a person of influence. And one of the things that I got really clear on is that that could be good or bad. You know, if I allowed toxicities to dominate my choices, to dominate, you know, my behaviors, then I could very well be influencing people in a very unreal way. And now that I'm clear on that, now that I'm clear on my calling, you know, what drives me is just a pure determination, along with the fact that I truly feel called to do this, to just really help people get to that place of healing. You know, even just in the workplace alone, statistics show that less than 30% of working Americans are actually fulfilled in their workplace. So you think about that. That means that 70% of the people that spend 8-9 hours of their day working together are not fulfilled. And that just, it just kind of breeds all kinds of side effects even. So I like to really spend time with people getting clear on what those things are that are really their calling, their personal destiny, help them let go of limiting beliefs and really begin to walk in their purpose. I think that alone really frees people up, you know. But a lot of what happens in the middle of that is, again, the cutting away and the just letting go of blame and, you know, just so many, you know, different things that hinder us, like you said earlier, the fear of the unknown. So I feel called, and I've said this before in interviews, that I, you know, I've just decided that it is truly going to be my life journey to help people get to that place of wholeness and healing, again, by assessing, you know, where they currently are and trying to help them provide, you know, very simple, realistic steps to the better life that they not only that they deserve, but that they were really called to have anyway.
Well, that's wonderful, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. It's so needed in the world, and makes a huge difference in the quality of a person's life when they're able to kind of examine their own life and make improvements from that point, which you're helping people doing. And I thank you, Dawana, for the work that you're doing in the world, and especially for cancer survivors, breast cancer survivors all over the United States and around the world. You're helping people in a multitude of ways, and we thank you. We also want to thank you for joining us today on Journey to Success Radio. You're listening to Journey to Success Radio Network. Find out more about the network, please visit us at JourneyToSuccessRadioNetwork.com. We'll see you soon for our next amazing success story. Bye for now.